Thank you, Ambassador, for an account of how women are faring in Bahrain and also in some of the Arab world countries. I'll give the floor now to President David Arnold of the American University of Cairo, who will give a talk on preparing a new generation of leaders.
Good morning, Sabah al-Khair. I bring warm greetings from Cairo. Delighted to be with you and really, truly honored to be part of such a formidable panel. I want to begin by expressing my thanks and appreciation to the National Council on U.S.-Arab Relations for incorporating this topic, this set of issues, in the agenda for this conference. This morning we spent a lot of time talking about hardware. This panel is focused on the software of the U.S.-Arab relationship, and I think it really is addressing a critically important set of issues. As we all know, the Arab world today is facing enormous development and educational challenges. 5 years ago, the UNDP issued one of its series of Arab human development reports focused on the so-called knowledge gap between the Arab world and industrialized countries, looking at a wide array of indicators: literacy rates, scientific publications and inventions, translation of books and reference materials into Arabic, the skill competencies of secondary school and university graduates. The UNDP report painted a pretty dismal picture of Arab educational systems and of its scientific research capabilities. The central link between education and development was summarized in the UNDP report by saying, quote, "Despite a rich and time-tested intellectual tradition, and notwithstanding the region's tremendous human capital, the potential of people in the Arab region is constrained by barriers to knowledge acquisition, dissemination, production, and utilization," unquote. Well, the good news is that today, 5 years later, this issue of the knowledge gap is getting real attention in many parts of the Middle East, from governments and international organizations, from educators, and importantly, also from private individuals, corporations, and foundations. A few examples are worth noting. For example, in cooperation with the Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum Foundation, the UNDP will soon be following up on its 2003 Arab Human Development Report with a project that will be designed to assess progress on education issues in the Arab world, and will be bringing out a new Arab Knowledge Report, which is expected to focus on the lessons that have been learned by several Arab countries that are successfully expanding and improving their educational systems and outcomes. The Maktoum Foundation has also launched a major scholarship program to provide graduate education opportunities for students throughout the region, and is pursuing a variety of other educational initiatives. Other private foundations and donors are also doing outstanding work on educational and related development issues. Most notably, Saudi Arabia's Kingdom Holdings Foundation, represented here today by our distinguished speaker this morning and commentator, Ms. Muna Abul Suleiman, who is the managing director for that foundation. I have to admit, in this company and in Muna's presence, that AUC is one of the fortunate recipients of the Kingdom Foundation's generosity and work in the education field, their support not only for our new campus, but also for the creation of the first of its kind, Center for the Study of American Society and Culture, which bears Prince Al-Walid's name. It's interesting that it took a Saudi prince to convince the American University in Cairo that we ought to have a Center for American Studies, but he was very persuasive. We saw the immediate merits and benefits of creating that new center, as did the American University in Beirut, our sister university in Lebanon. Alongside these philanthropic initiatives, we've seen an explosion of interest in the region from established universities in the U.S. and in other countries. Earlier this year, the New York Times ran a series called Global Classrooms, which illustrated the burgeoning of American education initiatives in the Arab world and pointed to many U.S. universities that are establishing branch campuses there. These new higher education players are joining an established network of existing and well-established American universities in the region, including our own university, the American University in Beirut, the Lebanese American University, and the American University in Sharjah, all of which are accredited U.S. incorporated nonprofit educational institutions. All of these initiatives are being supported by enlightened leaders who really recognize that higher education holds the future, the key to the future of the region. We've seen in Qatar, for example, Education City, which now hosts some of America's premier institutions, Cornell Weill Medical School, the Georgetown School of Foreign Service, Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, Texas A&M, Virginia Commonwealth University, Carnegie Mellon, a number of other U.S. institutions, all part of this incredible complex that is being developed in Doha with the leadership of Sheikh Musa. In Dubai, we have branch campuses now popping up from places like Michigan State University, George Mason University, and other institutions. And NYU has recently announced the plans for creating a new campus in Abu Dhabi. These initiatives are not being launched independently. They're being launched in cooperation with enlightened Arab leaders that recognize that the real wealth of nations will ultimately be measured not in terms of natural resources or geographic location, but rather in the capacity of succeeding generations to meet the economic and social challenges of the changing strategic and geopolitical environment. So all of these efforts, those by foundations, by universities, by corporations, by individuals, by governments, all of these efforts are necessary and essential, really, to provide the kinds of opportunities that are necessary to meet the challenge that was alluded to by our chairman and moderator, and that is a challenge of responding to the demographic bulge of 100 million young adults who are expected to enter the labor force over the next 10 years. 100 million young adults who will need the skills not only to compete in a knowledge-driven global economy, but also to be active, engaged, and empowered citizens of the global community. This is an enormous challenge, but as you know, educators are, by definition, optimists. If we did not believe that the world could be a better place, why on earth would we bother to teach and prepare the next generation of young leaders to help build and create a better future for us all? So I approach this challenge, and I think all of us approach this challenge with a sense of hope and a sense of optimism. My university, the American University in Cairo, has been training and educating precisely these kinds of leaders for nearly 90 years now. AUC has been at the forefront in terms of educating Egyptians and students from the wider Arab world, and also in educating Americans about the Arab world and building bridges of understanding between civilizations and cultures. We at AUC are acutely aware of the important role that education plays in preparing people for lives of not just productive and fruitful employment and good careers, but also making a difference and a contribution in the lives of their communities and of their nations and of the region. Let me share with you three key areas where I think institutions like AUC and the other universities that I've alluded to can make a lasting contribution to advancing the goals of education and development in the region. The first, which I've alluded to, is in our ability to educate and prepare future generations of young men and women to lead their countries and engage in an increasingly global economy. Secondly, is the willingness of our university to extend the resources of the university into the societies which we call home through our community outreach and public service initiatives. And third is the unique ability of universities and academic institutions to serve as a two-way bridge for the free exchange of ideas and for building mutual understanding between cultures. Let me start with the role that AUC and other similar universities are playing in educating the next generation of Arab leaders. One of the unique and distinctive qualities of the American-style liberal arts education that AUC provides is that it has the benefit of producing well-rounded graduates in a variety of different fields and disciplines. Our philosophy and our rigorous core curriculum are designed to ensure that our graduates leave with an intellectual foundation and a skill set that will enable them to advance in their respective careers, but also contribute to their respective countries. This requires a solid grounding in a range of academic disciplines, coupled with the kind of critical thinking and lifelong learning skills that are the hallmarks of a strong, high-quality liberal arts education. I think at no time in our history has the need for independent minds that are able to learn, to question, to formulate their own conclusions been more vitally important. And over the last 9 decades, AUC has demonstrated the capacity to produce outstanding leaders in a wide variety of fields and disciplines. On our new state-of-the-art campus in New Cairo, AUC students are working alongside professors to discover new nanotechnology applications. They're studying biotechnology, ethics, and legal principles. They're also learning the fundamentals of economics and acquiring the business skills necessary to manage and direct companies that are contributing to the economy of the region. They're being trained as journalists, as diplomats, as IT professionals, as attorneys and engineers and teachers and actors and artists. But most importantly, they're all being taught these disciplines within the framework of a rigorous U.S.-style liberal arts education. As we often tell our students, our education at AUC is not intended to teach you what to think, but rather to train you in how to think. The aim of our broad-based curriculum is to ensure that our students are not just well-trained, but are well-educated, and they're equipped with the skills to continue learning over the course of a lifetime. Perhaps the best testament I can give to the benefits of this style of liberal arts education is the success of our some 30,000 graduates who can be found throughout Egypt and the region in a variety of different fields. In addition to such prominent alumni as Her Highness Queen Rania or First Lady Suzanne Mubarak or First Son Gamal Mubarak, or closer to home, the former Egyptian ambassador here in Washington, Nabil Fahmy, AUC has produced outstanding graduates who work in a variety of different fields and disciplines, foreign service, heading banks, corporations, conducting research, creating new media channels, directing social service organizations and NGOs, doing a variety of different things that contribute to the betterment of their societies and the region. This job of educating and training successive generations of leaders is our primary mission, and we've been doing it quite successfully now for almost a century. The second key area where institutions like AUC can make a positive difference is in extending the resources of the university beyond the classroom, beyond the campus, to the wider communities and the society of which we are a part. We can do this through a variety of channels. We do it in part by educating our own students about the importance of active and engaged citizenship and stewardship. We do it by creating networks of our faculty and students that work with local NGOs. At AUC, we've created a new Center for Philanthropy and Civic Engagement, which is named for our former president, the late John Gearhart, which is helping our faculty to develop innovative service learning courses that equip our students to play an effective role in addressing and tackling some of the social and economic challenges faced by their society. The Gearhart Center is also working with new and emerging private foundations throughout the region to help build a network of Arab philanthropists who are committed to economic progress and social change, the kind of network that will support the sorts of individuals that Muna spoke about this morning in her remarks. Another area where AUC is playing this kind of active and engaged outreach role is through the work of our Social Research Center, which is, has been active for more than 50 years now, conducting research on a variety of social issues and problems ranging from literacy to maternal and child health, working closely with government authorities, and most recently with the Ministry of Social Solidarity to really look at poverty alleviation strategies and income support programs for the poor in Egypt. This is an example of taking the tools of modern social science research, working with local NGOs and partnering with government institutions to actually bring about effective policy change and solutions on the ground, getting out of the ivory tower and into the community. And finally, AUC, while we're best known for our degree programs that serve about 6,000 full-time undergraduate and graduate students, what we're also very proud of is our School of Continuing Education, which has been active almost from the time the university was founded, and is now training more than 40,000 adult part-time learners through evening classes and extension education courses with to provide skills in English language and IT and business skills, things that will actually contribute to improving their livelihoods and the prospects for themselves and their families. Our view is that, the university has an important role to play, not only in serving those students who can afford the time and money to attend the university as degree-seeking students, but also to serve a much wider segment of Egyptian and Arab society through these continuing education programs, our research activities, and our community service and art outreach program. The third and final aspect of AUC's role is really building the educational and cultural bridges that are so vitally important between East and West. Universities have a critical role to play in fostering the international exchange of knowledge and ideas, as well as cultural awareness and understanding. Recently, the Assistant Administrator of USAID, Mark Ward, wrote an article in which he said, quote, "The dialogue of civilization that is practiced and preached in the universities is an important counterpoint to the war of civilizations. The modern university can reestablish and maintain solid bonds between our civilizations by honoring the fundamental values that we share. Development can only occur among cooperating partners who are receptive to listening and sharing ideas and who recognize the value in each other." At AUC, we're proud to serve as this kind of a bridge, helping our Egyptian and Arab students gain insights into U.S. and Western culture, and enabling an increasing number of American students and scholars to obtain firsthand experience in the rich cultural and intellectual traditions of the Arab world. In any given academic year, AUC hosts more than 1,000 American students, undergraduates, graduate students, intensive Arabic students, and study abroad students, each of whom has come to learn more about Egyptian and Arab history, culture, politics, language, and religion. Also, our university press, the AUC Press, is the largest English language publishing house in the region, producing more than 100 new titles every year, not just academic publications in Middle East studies or Arabic studies, but also helping in the translation of Arabic literature into English and to other languages and disseminating them widely throughout the world. So we're also bringing Arab and Western journalists together through the Adam Center for Journalism Training to undertake joint training and reporting projects. Our host has reminded me that I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. So let me wrap up. In closing, let me quote H.G. Wells, who once observed, quote, "that human history has become more and more a race between education and catastrophe." We at AUC are doing our small part to ensure that education wins that race. And as I noted earlier, to do so really requires the combined and cooperative efforts of all of us, government leaders, business leaders, foundations, educators, and individuals. There are some very promising and exciting initiatives taking place, and there are some hopeful signs that indeed education is gaining ground against catastrophe in the region. We've seen good progress in a number of areas, but there is a long way to go, and we still have miles to go before we sleep. Thank you very much.